Good to see you. I see David Barry hiding beneath a lot of facial hair somewhere up there. And so it's good to see David back visiting us this morning. It's always been good to work with other people. And this week, you probably know, I celebrated a birthday. It's great. Social media has changed birthdays. Have you noticed this? That you used to kind of have your birthday and nobody would notice or whatever, but now it's like everybody notices. And one of our staff gave me a book, and which I really appreciated. It was a biography of Hillary Clinton. And what I appreciated even more was that it was large print. And so, and, great. Anyway, I've got my new large print Bible. That was my Christmas present. And so this is the first time I've had it out. But let's turn, if you've got your Bibles, to Genesis chapter 33. And or rather 32. And we're going to continue our series looking at blessed to be a blessing. You'll know if you were here last week that I said as we start into the new year, we want to have a we're going to have a series that really affirms the idea of God blessing us as we go into 2016. That we've had sort of prophetic words that have been spoken into the life of the church that have proclaimed this as a year of breakthrough and as a year of unprecedented blessing. And you know, last week I talked and I said, really? Because as we look at things, 2016 is not shaping up to be a great year. And, you know, I talked about the economic situation, the socio-political situation, the situation in terms of Christianity. And all of the... I was going to say bless you, but that would seem appropriate. And all of the things that were happening, and really, you just felt increasingly a sense of intrepidation as we go into 2016. And certainly, that's not changed this week, with the events in Burkina Faso just hitting our news screens, and seeing that missionaries are actually amongst those who are being killed in situations like that, and wondering about the ramifications for the gospel. Nevertheless, in the midst of this, I dare to believe that this will be a year of breakthrough, that this will be a year of blessing. We were having a chat with some of the staff about last week's sermon, and there were elements, sometimes being Scottish, a lot of advantages, but sometimes it has a series of disadvantages. And our problem is that we hate to try and believe things in case we get disappointed. Have you ever noticed that about Scottish folks? Because any time probably whenever we have believed something, it's never happened. And so we want to shy away from the notion that God really wants to bless us, that God can do something distinctive and different in the year ahead. But I hope that as we go into 2016, we can kind of throw off our Scottish mentality and actually start to believe that God can bless us. Do you think we can do that? Now, I appreciate that this kind of moves us into the sphere of American TV evangelism. And the conversation I was having with one of the staff members was sort of trying to clarify just exactly how is our message different from what we're seeing in American TV? And you'll know last week that I talked a little bit about the notion that blessing is conditional, and it's conditional on our righteousness. And again, you won't hear that much on American TV talking about blessing. And I just want to take a few seconds to clarify some of these ideas that we were touching on last week. Because righteousness is a condition of God's blessing. And I don't believe that you can actually read the Old Testament without seeing that blessing is material, not just spiritual. Okay? And it's fairly clearly there. Look at Deuteronomy 27, the blessing and curses from Mount Gerizim and Ebal. And the blessings that are being pronounced are actually material blessings. I know in the New Testament there's a shift or a change, but nevertheless, I do believe that there is something about believing God for material blessing. So, hey, I'm sitting there with the American TV evangelists in this regard. However, this has to be qualified, and I don't think there is a causal relationship. Which means if you're upright, will you automatically enjoy health, wealth, and happiness? Although we affirm that without God's blessing, you cannot know, and without righteousness, you cannot know God's blessing, does it mean that if you are righteous, you will be blessed? Well, actually, yes, it does. Yeah, I believe that if you are righteous, you will be blessed, and you will know God's favor. Now, will that blessing take the form of health, wealth, and happiness? Well, it might take the form of health, wealth, and happiness, but it doesn't necessarily take the form of health, wealth, and happiness. See, in the Old Testament, as you read through the Old Testament, this is what they struggle with. Because they want to just make a straightforward equation between the idea of if you're upright and righteous, if you live a life that glorifies God, then actually God will bless you, and the form of that blessing will be health, wealth, and happiness. However, people kind of kept coming up against the fact that some people were upright and lived righteous lives, but they didn't know health, wealth, and happiness. Another one of our staff members was reading the book of Job this week, and that's what the book of Job is all about. It's trying to get around this kind of idea of, hang on, if you're blessed by God, surely you're going to know health, wealth, and happiness. And if you're righteous, you will know the blessing. And here's Job, who we are told over and over again is a righteous man, but he's not knowing material blessing from God. And it's the Old Testament writers struggling with that question. How do we explain that? Equally, and you'll see this in the Psalms quite a lot, we also know that the unrighteous can know health, wealth, and happiness. So straightforward causal relationships, which says the righteous will know material blessing and the unrighteous will not, just don't equate. Although it was the default setting, it was where they were coming from in their Old Testament worldview and thinking. And so as we think about these things and the subjects of blessing, we have to recognize that there aren't causal relationship. Nevertheless, okay, so as Scottish, we like to affirm there's not causal relationships. Nevertheless, I think it is appropriate in the light of both the Old and New Testament to anticipate that when we are righteous and living a righteous life, we not only know the immaterial, the spiritual blessing of God, but that we also look towards enjoying the material blessing of God. I think that's biblical. It's not necessary, it's not causal, but it's something that we can look towards. I know as Scottish folks, we all think, what? That'll never happen. But what I would like to encourage us as we go into 2016 is to actually be in faith and to anticipate the blessing of God. Now, last week I talked about the conditions for the blessing of God, and firstly we looked at this whole idea that righteousness, a righteous life, is a requirement to know God's blessing. If you are righteous, if you choose to make right choices, you'll actually see God's blessing in a variety of ways. Your relational world will work much better. The instruction of the Word of God tells us how we can have right relationships. And when you have right relationships, because you are being righteous, and that's what righteous means, right with God and right with one another, then you will know blessing. Okay, if you lie and cheat the people around about you, guess what? You're going to find that your world isn't that great. I actually think you'll find that your psychological world is a lot better because you're not having to do what they call cognitive dissonance and try and reconcile the fact that you really think you're a good person while you're behaving in ways that are just reprehensible and trying to do the mental gymnastics that so many people do in order to kind of keep their lives together. Not a good place to be psychologically. You actually will also benefit materially. This was one of the things that we saw in the revivals in the 19th century, was that when people became Christians, they stopped drinking their wages, they stopped smoking their wages, and actually, lo and behold, they started to become middle class. Sometimes in Christian circles, we're kind of led to believe that being middle class is somehow bad. Well, actually, in the 19th century, being middle class was an expression of God's blessing because of righteousness. And maybe it still is today in the same way. Anyway, how are we to know God's blessings? Righteousness is really important. And so you have to get serious with sin. But secondly, we have to be a prevailing people. In my grandmother's house, when I was a young child, there used to be this picture. And it used to hang over the bed. And I never really understood what the picture was about. But I remember as a child, it made a great impression upon me. And even to this day, I can still remember staying in my grandmother's house and this picture above the bed. And it's a picture by Gauguin. And it's a representation of the story that we just read in Genesis chapter 32, the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel of God, or God himself. Talk about that in a moment. And he portrays it, you'll see the Flemish women all looking at the story, and they represent the congregation. And the idea is this is what's happening in the minds of the congregation as they hear the story recounted, and it's their engagement with this reality. But as a representation of this story, it made a very important impression upon me as a child. And coming back to this story, it's a very interesting story that we see, especially as we consider the whole subject of blessing. It's interesting because it's one of these ambivalent texts. Who is it that Jacob is wrestling with? It doesn't really tell us. It just has all these subtle hints that it might be God, but it might not be God. You know, it's one of these stories where you're going to go, what is on earth is going on here? Certainly there is a sense of that whatever is happening here, it is a pattern of how we encounter and interact with God in order to know his blessing. That's what's being laid out here. Whether Jacob was wrestling with God or not, it's certainly being laid out and presented as a pattern by which we understand how God's blessing operates. The first thing that we see in this story is that Jacob was someone who sought God's blessing. He was a bit of a blessing junkie. If you read in Genesis chapter 27, you'll know the story where Jacob, who was the younger son, decided to cheat Esau, his older brother, out of his birthright. What was the birthright? It was the blessing of his father. And so he wanted to receive that blessing. And he was encouraged by his mother to get that blessing. And you'll know the story, he dresses up as Esau, well, he buys off Esau and then dresses up as Esau, and then he receives his father's blessing. Jacob wanted to be blessed. This was high on his list of priorities. Here in this story, we see that when he encounters this individual, he wants to be blessed. I'm intrigued by the fact, and I've been to the J-Book River where this event happened, and it's interesting that he sent his four wives, or his two wives and two concubines, and his 11 children over the river. I can kind of see why he would do that, because he was probably sitting there. If I had four wives and 11 kids, I would probably want some peace at some point too. So he's kind of goes, off you go, guys. And now I want to seek and know God's blessing. And so he's carving out here some space to know God's blessing, because he's a blessing junkie. He wants to know the blessing from God. He wants to seek this. And then we read of this encounter, this strange esoteric encounter with this stranger, possibly an angel of God, possibly an epiphany, a representation of God, but whatever. The story where Jacob is seen to start wrestling. You see, he's wrestling with God to know blessing. Why? Because he was hungry. But he also understood that the blessing of God was something that was imparted. And there was an impartation that had to take place. Again, one of the other conversations I was having this week was conversations about the nature of blessing. How does blessing work? Well, it's something that we receive from God. And I think it's something that is tangibly conveyed. I remember 20 years ago now. I don't know if any of you went and saw the Star Wars movie over Christmas and New Year. I went to see it for my birthday, and I was sitting there thinking, this movie first came out 40 years ago. It was horrifying. It was just, in fact, I couldn't even concentrate on the movie because I was thinking, it can't be 40 years. And I was just thinking 20 years ago of a phenomenon that occurred in the life of the church, which was called the Toronto Blessing. And this was an experience that people will have, an intensive experience that people were having of God. And it generated an awful lot of debate. And I'm not going to take time this morning to go into all the theology and the rights and wrongs of the Toronto Blessing. But just to say that I was hungry to know something different. And the thing that marked the Toronto Blessing was hunger in people. People were hungry to know God in a different way. People were hungry to do ministry in a different way. People were hungry to do life in a different way. And there was something there that people were just dissatisfied. And you see, if we're going to know God's blessing in 2016, we need to have that hunger. Good question to ask yourself this morning. Am I hungry for God's blessing? Am I hungry for something different? The second thing about that experience of the Toronto Blessing was that there was something imparted. And there was a tangible imparting of something to each person. I find it fascinating that the blessing of God is invariably conveyed through touch. Have you ever noticed that? Again, there's probably a theology behind it, but why is it that God's blessing is conveyed through touch? Interestingly, the Spirit of God predominantly is conveyed through touch. What is it that's involved? I remember in terms of the Toronto Blessing, that in order to know the blessing, and again, not to unpack all the theology, but you needed to go to the source. You needed to have an experience or an impartation from someone that had kind of encountered it. And I remember as an individual, after being to places, wanting to impart that to others. This incredible sense of having received something and wanting to pray with people. I remember I was doing pastoral visits and I would go and visit people. And seriously, I really wanted to skip all conversation. It was like, do we really have to talk about the problems? Let's just pray and deal with it. And I remember that tangibly. Like, let's just cut to the chase. Let's pray and see God bless you and move to that reality. Now, it's the same for us in terms of the blessing of God. It is something that we have to seek, and then it's something that has to, in some sense, be imparted. There is an impartation that comes from it. There's an impartation that comes from it, actually, I think, from community. The Holy Spirit was predominantly received in the New Testament through the laying on of hands. We see this in Samaria. Remember, some people became Christians and they hadn't received the Spirit. So they send down to Jerusalem for people to come from Jerusalem to come and lay hands on them so that they'll receive the Spirit. And you go, what on earth is happening theologically there? What is going on? But there was a tangible sense that we need to have this imparted. And it suggests to me that the community of God is very important in knowing God's blessing and the reception of the Spirit. That actually we encounter God's blessing through others. through actual encounter with others, through somebody tangible. Remember, I've told the story before, but of the little boy who was going to sleep one night. And he said to his mother, "I'm afraid. Can you leave the light on?" And she said, "Don't be afraid. God's with you." And he looked up at her and he said, "But I want someone with skin on." And the idea of God's blessing through people with skin on, through that which is tangible, is very important. This is why I'm a real backer of what we're trying to do in terms of prayer cells. Because I think that only through getting yourself into community, and prayer cells is a great way to get into community, will you come into that tangible contact with others where you can know and act as conduits for God's blessing to one another. I actually think it is impossible for us in 2016 to really know the blessing that God wants for us if we operate in isolation. I think it is only as we come into community and know God's blessing in community will we actually see a realization of that. So we need to be hungry and we need to be in community in order to know God's blessing. Thirdly, we need to be willing to pay the cost of blessing. The blessing of God is not something that comes cheaply. It's not something casual. Again, referring back to American TV, you sometimes see these sort of TV evangelists who would suggest that if you just send a check, God will bless you. Or if you just touch the TV, God will bless you. I actually once saw a TV evangelist in America who was saying, if you're not earning $20,000 a year, then you should start doubting your salvation because God's blessing is so easy. And if you haven't got it, you've got a problem. You're not properly saved. And this kind of thinking. But the truth is that the blessing of God only comes when we wrestle and struggle. Jacob wrestled. And there's this story, and it's all night. And you just think, my son's pretty big now. But as he was getting bigger, we would sometimes wrestle with one another. And now we don't do it because he can beat me up. And but you know, you could, as he got bigger, I could maybe do it like for 5 minutes when he was a kid. Until he usually cried. But as he got bigger, it was like 30 seconds. No! I'd be shouting at my wife, save me! And wrestling is tough. So to wrestle all night, he must have been exhausted. He must have been fatigued. And worse still, it actually caused him to be injured. This interesting teleological story about why the Jews don't eat the sinew joint. From this, but here he was. He was almost injured through his wrestling with God. You see, Jacob was willing to pay the cost of blessing. And again, as we go into 2016, it's great, and I'm sure we're all going, great, I love this idea of being blessed in 2016. I love the idea of breakthrough in 2016. But don't ask to demand anything of me in order to see that. Don't ask me to actually make the effort to get into a prayer cell. Don't ask me to actually start to interact with other people. Don't ask me to get serious in the way that I engage with God's word or get serious about dealing with sin in my life. Can I just have the blessing with none of the effort? It's a little bit like fast food. On Fridays, I'm usually responsible for the meal. And I'll be honest, I usually look for the easiest and quickest way to deliver a meal. And it's a cost-benefit thing, you understand. And but you know that really to bless someone with a meal, you usually have to go to quite a lot of effort. And preparation. And if you have a really good meal, you can sometimes sense the love that has been put into the preparation of it to be conveyed towards you. And that's why meals often are such lovely blessings to individuals. And often when we come to blessing, that's kind of the way that we do it. We look at a quick cost-benefit analysis and we think, what's the shortest route that we can go to know God's blessing? And we don't want any of the preparation. We don't want any of the effort. We don't want any of the hassle in order to get there. But you see, if you're going to know God's blessing in 2:16, it's going to cost you. Again, a question to ask ourselves, are we willing to pay that cost? Are we willing to get serious about God's word? Are we willing to start to seriously consider interacting with other people in the life of the church? Are we serious about getting into prayer cells and praying and crying out to God? The last element that we see in Jacob's story in terms of the blessing of God was that Jacob prevailed. One of the interesting things as you turn to the New Testament is that people who prevail see the work of the Holy Spirit. If you look at the story of Luke chapter 11, Jesus there is teaching, and he's teaching about how do you receive God's blessing. In Luke chapter 18, he also deals with a similar theme. He's dealing with how do you get justice from God. And so it's like, if I'm a righteous person, why am I and I know blessing? And he's dealing with that question in Luke chapter 18. He's saying, if you're in that situation, how do you move from that place where you're being righteous but not seeing God's blessing to actually being righteous and seeing God's blessing? In Luke chapter 18, that's what he addresses. And both of these illustrations or both of these talks that Jesus gives actually affirm that you will only know blessing through prevailing. The principle in Luke chapter 11 is that it is only as we cry out to God and persist, just like a neighbor at midnight. He uses this illustration. He says, you know, if you go to a neighbor at midnight and say, some guests have arrived unexpectedly, I haven't got any food, will you give me 3 loaves? He goes, the neighbor is going to turn around and he's going to say to you, look, I'm in bed. My family are all quiet. My children are asleep. Please go away. We'll deal with it tomorrow. And he said, the neighbor's not going to give you any bread. But he says, if you prevail, if you keep banging at the door, you keep asking, you just don't go away. He says, the neighbor will get up and he'll come down and he'll give you the bread. And he said, this is a bit like God. It's certainly the pattern that we're seeing here in Genesis chapter 32. Jacob just won't let go of God until he gets blessed. The verse that Jesus gives us in Luke 11 where he says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you. The word in the Greek that's being used there, or the words in the Greek that are being used there, is a continuous sense. So it's the idea of keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. So it makes much more sense when you look at the story he's just told. And he says, and if you keep on asking, you will receive. If you keep on knocking, the door will be opened to you. If you keep on asking, you will receive the blessing of God. Now, here's the thing. A lot of us just give up. A lot of us, if we were Jacob and it involved a struggle with someone to receive a blessing, we would just like do 2 minutes and say, oh, that's enough. Forget the blessing. I'm off. And I'm going to the wife and family. And we would just cross. But Jesus says, only if you persist. Now, here's the thing. How many of us just give up? You know, and again, I want to use this materially. How many of us just say, well, God never blesses us materially. So things are tough, and that's the way it's meant to be. Que sera, sera. Or how many of us press in and say, God, I believe that we can have a breakthrough. And actually, I can see a breakthrough in my finances this year. I can see you do something different. How many in terms of health? Now, I appreciate and I know I go into all kinds of theological waters in terms of healing here. And I know that sometimes God doesn't heal. But oftentimes, we give up way too soon on physical healing. Rather than pressing in and prevailing and saying, God, we believe that you don't want to let this go. One of the things I remember about my mother when my father was seriously ill and eventually died from the illness. But my mother prevailed. You know, in a kind of gutsy, we are not going to let this go kind of way. The only way like a mother can, really. And you know, that is a model for us with things like our material situation, with our health, but also with our spiritual situation. You know, God, we are not going to let go until we know your Holy Spirit working in our lives, until we know your Holy Spirit working in the church. We are not going to accept mediocrity. We're not going to accept this level. God, we are going to press in and we are going to prevail until we see a breakthrough. And I believe that doesn't just relate to church. I believe that relates to community and it relates to nation. That as God's people, we need to start prevailing in our prayers until we see the breakthrough of God. I believe in 2016, if we become a prevailing people, we will see God's breakthrough. I really believe that. Because as Jesus points out, God is a good Father who seeks to bless us. And God wants to bless us in 2016. He wants us to see that breakthrough. But the reason that we often don't see that breakthrough is because we don't seek the blessing of God. We aren't willing to pay the cost to encounter that blessing. And we don't prevail when it comes to it. What kind of year are you going to have in 2016? Are you going to have a year where you're serious about the blessing of God, where you make it your priority to know it, while you hang on and wrestle to experience it, where you prevail until you see the breakthrough? Or is this just going to be another year like every other year, where we kind of listen to a sermon series and think, too much effort. I really have other priorities. And I just can't prevail, and we don't see anything change. A year of breakthrough and blessing. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just pray that as we come to 2016, that whatever area that we are struggling with, that we will truly see it as a year of breakthrough. I pray for those of us here this morning who need to know your blessing in a new and unique way. I pray for us as a community of your people that as we go into 2016, that we will see that blessing. Lord, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will give us such a desire to seek after that blessing, that you will strengthen us so that we are willing to pay the cost of that blessing, and that you will give us a tenacity that seeks to prevail until we know breakthrough and the transforming power of your blessing in our lives. Lord, make us a people of faith as we go into this year. I ask this in your name. Amen.